AfterBuzz family, Vikings fans, we are back with season 6, episode 1, New Beginnings, and episode, what is it, 2? What is it? The Prophet. Let's do it.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz.
That's right, let the buzz begin. You guys in the comments are so giving us Z's. You're saying, let's start the show, let's get going. Well, we're going.
What up?
Right, we've got some new faces in the studio tonight.
Hey, y'all.
Introduce yourself to the people. Let them know who you are.
I'm Lauren B, and I'm new to the game. I'm new to the family, and I'm all here for the Vikings.
Hey, everybody, your boy LG. We're back again. Let's get it cracking. You know, I miss me some Vikings. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. My name is Jiaku. Welcome, Viking fans. You'll see that James is not here. James is not going to be joining the show anymore. Because he's so busy with all his crazy health stuff. And then I've got some news at the end as well for myself. But that's that. I'm Jiaku. You've got Lauren. You've got Al. Let's talk some Vikings.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So we've got two episodes that we're covering. Season 6, episode 1, New Beginnings. And you guys know by now that we're doing this by storyline. So we're going to take the whole of, you know, Russia, wherever we are. And we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about Kattegat as a whole story. And then we'll head on to episode 2. So let's do it. Season, episode 1. Where do we start? Let me see. Where are we at? Kattegat.
Kattegat.
Tell me. Yeah. What do you guys think? What do you guys
first
think about the whole episode?
Oh, yeah. I like the double episode. It was a lot to take in. Kattegat, it's a lot more, not that, you know, they've obviously won the war and they've settled in Kattegat. I expected a bit less tranquility for some reason. I don't know why. A little bit more drama. But
you want murder? You want blood? I mean, it is Vikings, right?
Give us the old.
Yeah, in the first 10 seconds.
Right?
Yeah. I know we're doing setup, so I guess I'm getting real itchy for that old Vikings flavor to come.
Well, can we just get an accent to a melon or something, right? Ryan? Can we get the sound effect? Get in.
Let's get in the mood.
Boom. That's what I'm. By the way, that is Ryan, our master person behind the board.
Hello.
Doing all this amazing things for us. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Excited to be hearing about Vikings.
Yeah, Vikings is awesome. You just sit there and wait. It's awesome. Okay, let's do this. So we've got Kattegat. Bjorn is now king. So that's a huge shift, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren, you're mmming me.
Oh, yes.
Yes. But he's saying, and he's making this massive speech, and he's saying, you guys, I'm Bjorn, I'm not Ivar, so that's a big takeaway here. He's saying, I am going to be a different type of king, so let's not do conquest, let's do trade.
King Bjorn obviously establishing himself less of a dictator, you know what I mean, more of an open-minded ruler.
Whatever you want, I will listen. What do you think about that, Lauren?
He's like, I love it. What? I love it.
Is he a Democrat or is he a Republican?
Are we going to go there? It looks like he's trying to be a Democrat. But I think that he's trying to have a healthy balance of his dad, Ragnar.
Mm.
You know, I'm really seeing a lot of Ragnar, the direction that he was trying to go in. And he had so much pushback that Kattegat couldn't really get there. So I think this is now a new era. And I'm loving it because he's you know, walking in the footsteps.
Yes, Walker. Didn't he say somewhere about, I don't remember if this is episode 2 or episode 1, but something about, am I like him or unlike him or something? He was talking to Gunnhild in the throne. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah.
And he was saying something like,
on the mountain.
On the mountain. Oh, yeah, there you go. So, absolutely, you got it.
I think along those lines, I think it was, I forget what character, maybe Gunnhild even said it. I think it's important for him to find himself, and it's not just find himself, but she alluded to something, to knowing his own mind. Like, it takes a while to even kind of, like, discover, like, who you are as in the position.
Let's be real. Okay, you guys know what you... And by the way, we are watching you in the comments, so if you have anything to say, your opinion, remember, you are the fourth host of the show. We love that you are here, and you guys are so awesome in the comments, even in the replay, so make sure you let us know what you are thinking, okay? But as you guys all know, like, ruling Kattegat from the beginning in the humble stages, episode 1, there was a little bit of a replay in the pre-episode today. The place didn't even have a wall. There was like a little mud pit, right? And this is now grown into this mega city. So ruling this place is not just about... It's difficult. It's hard. I mean, you just said it's like, you know, it's...
It's definitely a balancing act, and I think it's in many ways it's more challenging to run an open society because you allow a lot more discourse, you know, you allow a lot more different points of view and probably.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Probably factions that disagree with you, and I think taking down the walls is symbolic of them being more open to influence from the outside world. And
did he actually say that? Did he say that they're going to take down the walls?
I don't know if he said it.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
He said, Ivar built the walls to keep people out, I think. Mm-hmm. I think if you take the walls down in this time and age, then, you know, you shouldn't be king.
Right? Metaphorically, he's removing the walls.
Yes, that's exactly what he's doing. So, Lauren, tell us, take us through the bodyguard situation and his whole mindset. What do you think? Did he do the right decision there with the bodyguards? Or by bodyguards, I'm talking about Ivar's old bodyguards, the two people that he brought in.
You know, I personally think he did the right decision. They have to be handled. You know what I mean? Like, they really...
So why not just kill them? They're Vikings. Be more Viking.
You know, Vikings they're evolving in this, okay? This is a time where they're evolving, and at this point in time, it's really trying to figure out, like, how do we discipline without all of
the blood?
Our history?
Oh, right.
All the blood, the killing.
My first mind is more inclined to what you're saying as far as punishment, consequences, kill them because of all the brutality they inflicted. I guess the balance is what Lagathar is trying to remind him of, like, don't just come back with all the violence and the brutality.
Right.
I get that, you know.
Oh, my God.
I've seen tons of that.
Okay, Michael Hirst is making a big shift here. He's shifting the mindset of Kattegat. It's obvious. It's not subtle at all.
But real quick, though, I don't think it's wise to let those guys wander around alive. They come back and form this crazy revenge tribe.
I do think that they're
going to
come back.
I definitely think
it's going to bite them in the butt later.
Especially when he was, like, staring at them.
I wouldn't do that. I wrote it out. I would not do that. What's going to happen, okay? Because these so-called forest people now is going to make a little tribe in the forest.
Of
all of them are marked. They're all the same. It's just the start of some kind of brotherhood. You never know where that's going to end.
They could have been a tribe in jail, locked up.
Exactly,
know,
right?
Well, I think the point is that we're hoping that, you know, society is going to be a better...
Boo,
like,
where's the hatchet?
Hoping, you know? This is what they're hoping for, and I think that's the whole purpose of that scene.
Break
to
down,
try man. And change up the way, shake it up a little bit, and hope that we are going to get a different outcome, because obviously what worked in the past just made for a hateful group of people.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm getting two people confused, because was it Bjorn who was also saying he wanted to be more Viking? Or was that another ruler who said that? I could totally be twisting his words. There was another king in there. There was a king who said they
tonight.
Wanted... Tonight. They wanted to be more Viking. Like, somehow lost their way.
I think it was. Help us out in the comments, because I'm watching the comments right now. If you know, then let me know. But yeah, you're right. I know what you're talking about. I think it was Bjorn. But I can't remember what
reference. With the context.
A part of me felt like he's almost saying one thing and doing another anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that's because that's his inner struggle. He's really trying to figure out, you know, like, he's really trying to figure out, do I continue with my old traditions, or do we try something new where I can be a better man and a better leader?
Which comes to the point where king is going to be, right?
Exactly.
Whether they're asking him what kind of king is going to be. But in this whole essence where he is struggling to be a new ruler, and he's got this angel and this devil on the shoulder almost kind of situation, you obviously need everybody's support. You need your mother's support, your wife's, blah, blah, blah. But his mom, the amazing, world-famous shield maiden, Lagertha, says she wants to go farm.
She bugged out on him, man.
She said, I've had enough.
But we knew this now from last season.
Yes.
Didn't we see this at the end of last season? She said, all I want to do is farm. There was some kind of reference, because we spoke about it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
I get it. I just didn't think she was just going to pack up and bug out and go to a completely different island, though.
Not just pack up and bug out. Pack up, bug out, put the sword away, swear the oath, never to kill anybody again. Like, it is over, people.
Yeah.
So it's... farming
from
here forward.
She's on the gods now. She's made her promise that she is never going to fight again.
But didn't, wasn't it such a, when they were driving on, because that's what you do on a boat, you drive. when they were floating, I guess, on the boat towards this land, and they woke up and said, what do you think about this? Because they were looking for a new you know, in the next scene, a new farm for her. And she had this beautiful flashback. Do you guys
get a little teary-eyed over there? Epic.
Just a little theory of Ragnar was there and was there, Bro, yeah. And little, you know, Bjorn and little, bit. And I forgot her name, little Eve, something, her daughter that obviously passed away in the disease or whatnot. But it was beautiful. I just thought it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of little flashbacks with Ragnar. Mm. I loved it. I mean, it was, you know, it took me, it was a trip down memory lane, whatever you want to call it, nostalgic.
Come on, dude. It was more than that.
It was
that.
A tribute.
Like,
it was
literally, gave me, my hair stood up. It was on my arm. It was awesome. And then also saying, like, well, won't you be alone? Aren't you going to be alone on, am I doing the right episode? Yeah. Aren't you going to be alone? And she's saying, you know what? No, don't worry. I'm not going to be alone because, you know, Grandpa Ragnar and all the other ghosts are going to come visit me. Because she, till the end, is still faithful. Like, she's still, everything revolves around Ragnar for her. Even though Ragnar went and married, you know,
it was her first love.
Yeah. On the farm, she returned, ride or die. I love it. Okay, King Olaf's people come in. So this is where the big thing for Bjorn is coming in, of what kind of king he is. King Olaf, I'll run you through this quickly because we have to get through the other episode as well. King Olaf, King Herald's people is coming in there, right?
Yes.
I'm not sure where they are from, but essentially in the battle, if I remember correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong in the comments. King Harald was taken by Olaf, which is the big old
bald guy
with the Buddha, right? Yes. But we said the Buddha, and he has now claimed all of Harald's land. And Harald is reaching out to Bjorn because he saved Bjorn's life against Ivar, saying, "But you need to come help me."
I was just talking to Lauren. We were going back and forth about does that decision and what does that say about him as a king. And I was just thinking that Bjorn, as a person, I see him as a loyal person, as a loyal warrior who would come to another warrior's aid, especially somebody who helped him out. But I guess the fact that now that he's a king gives it other dimensions to think about, you know, geopolitical dimensions to it. But yeah, just Bjorn just left to his own devices. I just saw that as that's his character. I mean, to me, I would expect nothing less than that.
Well, they said that, so he could have married Gunhild. He could have put his claim on the whole of Norway if he wanted to. King Harald now.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you guys believe that when they said that?
I don't think he necessarily would have won, but he could have pressed it. That's what he was talking about.
They said he didn't do it because he, I've got the word they used. He didn't do it.
Respected him as a man, as a friend.
Yeah, they used a certain word because he was maybe Viking, or he was, you know, he was a man of his honor or of his word or something like that. But I don't think that's the reason. I think he was just scared. If he had an opportunity, he would do it. He would take over Kattegat. He would claim, you know, he would gonna.
So in other words, yeah, he didn't have a clear pathway to it. It would have definitely been like kind of going against the grain.
That's what I think. I'm not saying that's true, but that's what I think. But you're right. That's exactly what you're saying. And so now he's reaching out to Bjorn, say, "Hey, are you gonna help me?" Yeah, that's it. Then Legratha saying she's not gonna fight anymore. And that's it. Is that all that happened in Kattegat? Do you guys have any other notes there?
A lot of stuff was going on in Russia, but I don't want to miss anything. Oh, I don't know if I'm jumping into a different episode or not, because I know it was divided into two, but we talked about how, or did we mention how Iron Kettle Flatnose came back from Iceland?
Oh, that's the beginning of the next episode.
Oh, okay.
So this Kattegat episode is ending where Bjorn is basically making this decision of, should I help, should I not help, talking to Gunhild, you know, I think this is where we, you know, what kind of king you want to be, and she's just telling him, be yourself. Which I feel like it's a very easy thing to say, but difficult thing to do.
You got to know who you are first.
Okay, right? And I think Ragnar is one person that knew that. So you can draw from that. I think that's it from Kattegat. Anything else to add from Kattegat episode 1, season 6?
I think we're good.
Okay, well, God, let's move on then. Well, let's go. Now, Ivar. Well,
there we go.
Thank you, sir, Ryan. We've got Ivar. He is chilling. This guy's getting... This guy, talk about cultural experiences. He is seeing parrots, he's seeing snakes, he's seeing all kinds of different people. He's in the desert. You guys know where he is?
Ivar?
Yeah.
Are we talking about Kiev?
No, we talk about Ivar in the very beginning of the episode. Remember, he was in the desert, all those colorful tents. Did you guys watch the episode with me?
I don't know where he was.
I don't know where he was either.
He was obviously in some type of no man's land in between.
It
you
almost
know, having
seemed
fled
like he
Kattegat.
Was just like in his own like dreams for a moment.
It
like,
felt surreal.
It felt surreal. It looked like he was in his own dreams. I completely agree with you, Lauren. It almost looked fake. It looked like he was nice and like, oh my God, what is this beautiful bunny?
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. So a whole new just experiences. I think he's somewhere, because when we visited Portugal, also when Bjorn fought the Moors, which is in Portugal, Spanish area, mm-hmm. across from Algeria in Africa, I think I feel like it's somewhere there. Unless I'm crazy, and once again, the historian buffs here is going to kill me on the comments. I just know that's going to happen. I don't know if there's any deserts between Scandinavia, Norway, and Russia.
Can't think of any.
Maybe snow deserts, but not sand deserts. He's going on this cultural experience and ends up in snow, gets attacked, and he's on the Silk Route. And the Silk Route, if I'm not mistaken, is the route that goes from somewhere in Europe to China or India.
Okay.
You guys can grab another.
I never heard of that, but I know they mentioned it twice.
Like, when I saw that pop up, I was like, ooh, does this take you back to history class?
That's right. I think that's what the Silk Route is. Silk and Spice Route, right?
Which is, not, yes. I guess, full of traders,
it was a huge
right?
trade. Yeah, it
so
was a
it's
huge
one
route, trade route.
A huge trade route, but also, obviously, what happened to them, a huge, like Robin Hood, like, you know, people on the trade route is robbing you the whole time, right?
Mm. Yeah. Makes sense.
So then he gets taken. But then you have this whole scene. So he gets taken and he gets, they rob their whole caravan and he's just obviously going on this route. He doesn't know where he's going. He says later he's just fleeing. But then he's ending up in Kyiv. With who? What's this guy's name?
Prince Oleg.
Okay. Yeah. Lauren, tell me about Prince Oleg.
You know, honestly, I think Ivar has found his soul twin. Like, I feel like he has found his true brother from another mother type of situation. Mm-hmm. They are so similar in how they just, like, have this hunger for power. And you can tell with this prince that he's just... He's looking and trying to figure out, who have I stumbled upon? Like, I know that you can help me, and maybe I will help you along the way. And he's trouble. He is nothing but trouble. I don't know
which one? Which one? You're saying, so you're saying Prince Oleg is trouble.
Prince Oleg is trouble.
And you're saying Ivar is like an angel.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't
but compared
say
to him, almost.
Almost.
Oh my God. I think it's kind of scary that, like, Ivar met his own, like, reflection.
Yes, very much so. He is definitely looking in a mirror, but I think Ivar is going to end up twisting this whole plot. If we can make predictions, I think we're going to see this come back and be a huge fire in Prince Oleg's blood.
You think Ivar is going to be a thorn? This is an early prediction here, people. Okay, let us know what you think.
Early prediction.
Lauren is saying, Ivar is going to be a thorn in Oleg's side, which I don't know. These guys, like, they could literally be holding hands and I wouldn't think anything of it at this point, because they are just
man
like,
love, man crush.
So man crush, exactly. Yeah. They're just into the same thing. They love it. But before they can, you know, be best friends, he first needs to figure out if he's really Ivar, right?
And if he can trust them.
Yeah. And so, I mean, what do you guys... Okay, so obviously he's torturing the poor other Viking, whatever, the old Norse guy. Like, what do you guys think about that?
I didn't do anything. He was totally honest, right? He was like, yo, this guy's like, Ivar the Boneless. I think he's a god. You know, what else do you want me to say? Like, there's still something in the dome.
What are you not telling me?
And it's also funny, just like to rewind for 1 second, how Ivar is thrown into the palace as he arrives here. And he kind of crawls into the palace or whatever as a body is being dragged across the floor in front of the throne. So I don't know if that's the old king or who that was, but that was hilarious. I thought it was pretty funny. Like, smart.
Yeah, he's like trying to stand up in this puddle of blood. He sees what's going on.
He sees what's going on. So they are completely massacring this poor Viking dude just to get the truth out of him, and it's already the truth. But what did you guys think about that damn what the F scene? Where they rip off his arms.
Oh, that was insane.
Yeah, and the little quartering scene.
I jumped. Like, I literally was like, okay.
I didn't expect that.
All right.
Now we're back to the old Vikings.
Right.
Now we're getting a real Vikings. Okay, there's a few things that's happened on the show that I was like, okay, this is maybe going a little bit far. This is a lot. And this, they made it really gruesome. Maybe this is like top 10 for me. Top 10. There's a few gruesome things. Maybe 10. Do you know one scene, Lauren, that you can remember right now from the past 6 seasons that you comes to mind right now?
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, ridiculous.
If I remember correctly, Ragnar skinned a man.
It's the eagle.
Yes.
The blood eagle.
Blood that
eagle.
For me was super gruesome.
Yeah. The blood eagle, where they cut you in the ribs, yes, they take your lungs out and put you put your lungs right here. Ooh. And then you die like that. Okay.
I was cringing the whole time.
Mm-hmm. That is Vikings. So that's how it goes. But I mean, just to anybody that didn't watch it, because obviously did watch it, but they literally are tying this guy's arms down, twisting the ropes until the ropes are just taut enough to, come on, rip off his arms. I wish James Simmons as CMP was here, because he would have told us if that's possible or not. maybe out of the sockets. Same, James Simmons is the other host that used to host with us. And then they fly. Like, what the F is going on in this episode?
Yeah,
are you
that
about,
one.
Like, the arm flying? Is that what you mean?
No, like, literally, they are flying.
Oh, off the balloon.
With a balloon.
But can y'all agree that this was, like, a very symbolic scene?
Oh, my God.
Simply because they both believe that they're gods.
Right.
Okay?
I love this, Lauren. Keep going. Keep going. I love
it. They both believe that they're gods. And I really think that Prince Alec was just trying to test, you know, Ivar, just to see how much of a god did he really believe that he is, and if they could be compatible.
And guess what? Here's the, I don't know if this is a prediction.
Right.
Forget it. I'm gonna make a prediction. It started out when they were flying. That Olug was like, you know, you'll be fine. I'm the king. Then he gets there, but it ends with Ivar saying, "You'll be okay because I'm a god." I said it wrong the other way.
That is where it changed. That's where it, because he started yelling.
Yeah.
Like his voice was hoarse. He was yelling so much, right? And then Ivar started laughing.
Yes.
And so I think that's the point where it's like, okay, I can
see
what's
my prediction that. Okay. Ivar is going to flip the script.
He's definitely
going
to flip the script.
He's already got a needle in there. He's got his, you know. Okay, I see that. I like this, Lauren. Good stuff coming from the new host of Vikings, everybody. Lauren B. Okay, so he's going to his wife's mausoleum. He killed his wife. His wife was very young. He takes Ivar there. Usually he doesn't take anybody there or whatever. It's very private, blah, 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 blah. Cool. Very, very important in the scene. And I didn't see or hear what he said, but he said something, you know, he told him the whole story and how he killed his own wife. And then Ivar told him, "I know your brain." Or did he say, "I know your pain"?
"I know your pain."
Oh, damn it. I was hoping it wasn't that. Because if he said, "I know your brain," I was like, okay, yeah, obviously you guys are like, you know, matching him and like whatever.
This was one of those really weird in sync moments where Prince Alec kind of was hoping that Ivar is very similar to him, and he took a leap of faith hoping that this situation would kind of be a sentimental moment for the two of them, and this is just making them bond a little bit more.
It is, but all like bromances, like any kind of romance, bromance if it happens too fast.
I don't know if it's gonna.
I'm here for it.
I don't know if it's gonna stay too long. I don't know. And also, you know, we've got all the hotties on Vikings. We've got, you know, Rolo and all the Watts and Uber and all the kind of stuff, and Vitsek, and back in the day when Vitsek wasn't so crazy, you know, these two are like whatever. But I must say that Ivar with his longer hair was pretty good looking. You guys agree? Like
he's a smooth mofo.
It took me off guard. I was like, who is this?
You didn't recognize him, huh?
You know, I actually like him with his shorter hair. Oh,
you do?
Man. I do.
With it back?
With it back, with the piercing blue eye. I like it
you
that
love
way.
It. Okay.
I love it that way.
Is he too much of a pretty boy? Is he too soft with the long hair?
With the long hair, he's just giving me Shaggy. And it's not.
he gave me World Traveler, and with the cultural experiences, I mean, it kind of matched, right? It ends off season 6, episode 1 with Oleg basically saying, okay, listen, this is what we're going to do, guys. You guys ready for this? Are you ready? We are going to go back and we're going to attack Scandinavia. Let's go to Kattegat. I want it. Ivar is like, yes, let's do it. Revenge, brothers, end scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes. I guess, you know what? What was the subtext there the whole time was... obviously something that they mentioned was that their relatives were Vikings too, and I guess originally from there, the Russians.
The old Vikings,
yeah,
that's
so
right.
That was like a common thread the whole time, and he spoke the old language. So I guess it was kind of there in front of us the whole time that eventually he'd want to like go back and reclaim the homeland.
That's a very good point.
Come on. I mean, that's an excellent point. But this dude, I mean, he's obviously... He spoke Old Norse, so that is in his... I mean, and he still knows the language and stuff, but he just wants, I guess they just want the land. I don't think he's going back for any ancestral reasons.
I'm interested about his backstory because if I had to take a guess and a prediction, it sounds to me that he got kicked out too, but on the same level that Ivar got kicked out.
No wonder.
That he had to flee for his life.
No wonder if starting with episode 2, you're the prophet, all the crazy stuff that's happening in there, right?
Mm-hmm. And then they also say, didn't Oleg also say something about way back when my brother-in-law used to rule? It wasn't even about a brother, it was a brother-in-law. So I guess he was like one step removed.
Isn't that the guy that died?
I thought that was just his brother.
I thought it was his brother too.
In season 1, with the guy that dragged across the floor.
Oh.
Could be. I didn't think about that.
Because I didn't hear him say that.
There you go, man.
Okay. So that's how you fill in the blanks shit on Vikings.
I like it.
Okay, let's start it. Season 6, episode 2, obviously. The Prophet. The first one, New Beginnings, obviously. Lagertha going to live on the farm. That's the whole episode. This one, the Prophet, is mostly about Oleg. So we start this episode off once again in Kattegat, and this is where we see this Floki rowing. That's what you call it, rowing to the shore. Was it Floki?
They did on flashback?
No, I'm talking about in the beginning of season 2.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think... Did you? Yeah. So in the beginning, the guy's rowing to the boat, and Ube is seeing him, and he thinks it's Floki.
Yes.
Right. Mm. And he's calling out to Floki, but it's not Floki.
Right.
Okay.
It's Kelvin Flatnose, whatever his name.
Okay. It's Kettle.
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 Kettle Flatnose.
It's Jorge. he's saying basically, well, what happened to Floki? Because you're in his boat. Something is up. What's going on? And he's saying that Floki couldn't take the new settlement anymore. He said in the beginning the new settlement was awesome, but he feels like the gods was against him, and then blah blah blah, so and so died, a lot of disease, and then Floki just up and left. And then Uber's like, I'm not sure.
How would you guys characterize it a different way though? I thought he kind of characterized, I mean, just in a nutshell, it's kind of like what happened, you know, there was discord.
How long ago did they see each other? Like at this point it must be years.
Right.
So, hey, man, what's up? No, where's Floki? Well, he left. Okay, cool. What's the settlement? Most people died. Okay, cool. Well, I'll see you later in the Great Hall. That's about what happened, right? Uh-huh. And then they have this weird discussion where, and I missed this, but Ube said, and you guys can help in the comments, Ube said that he's looking for Oder.
Okay, yeah. This guy who's a wanderer who's back at Iceland.
Yeah. Mm. Who's this? Who's this guy?
I don't remember who he was. I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember them mentioning him. Maybe you guys can help us out in the chat. This guy, Odell. And if they talked about him previously, let us know who he was and what episode.
Odell. So he is saying he wants to go see him. And Torvi and Ube, Torvi is his wife, obviously is like super stoked to go, you know, to go see this guy. But that's all I got from the whole thing. And then there's not a lot happening in Kattegat. The last bit in Kattegat is basically between Bjorn, his sneaky wife's servant girl, Ingrid.
She was pretty bold.
Yeah.
Right? So Ganyl, uh-huh. Is it Gunhild? She
calls her out, right?
She's tough. Dude, I don't know if, you know, I've seen her fight in the previous season. She's the Bjorn's. She can handle Bjorn, and that's saying a lot. Okay, so when she's saying to Ingrid, like, you know, like you said, calling her out, what do you guys think?
I mean, it's almost like she saw a reflection of herself, I think, at least with her attitude.
Well, she's saying, isn't she saying, well, if you feel it, you feel it, girl, just go for it.
Well, but didn't she also say too that this is like no good's gonna come of it, like you're gonna always end up sad? Isn't that what Gunnar was saying?
That's what Bjorn said to her. Bjorn said to her in the streets. He said, no good. You have to be careful.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
No, he did.
I thought Gunnhild said something to that effect, too. Besides what he said. But I could be wrong. Yeah. Gunnhild was basically like, I see that look. I recognize it. I know what it is. I kind of like, not even like a hating thing, just like it only leads to sadness.
I think she just doesn't, you know, as a woman, she's seen it happen before.
Yeah.
She's probably dealt with it before. Mm. And she's like, do I want this to have all my energy or do I want to, you know, be happy? And she's just letting it be at this
point.
And
she's also Viking. I think that's just
the Viking way.
The Viking way, which, she's not the jealous type, it seems. We'll see about that. an axe battle in the next few episodes, maybe.
Tensions over the axe in the back of her head.
So obviously Ingrid does like Bjorn because she is sassy. She is like, you know, well, he said, be careful because this usually ends up in trouble or something like that. And she said she likes trouble. Is that what she said?
I didn't catch that.
Oh, yeah. She came back with a little slick comment.
Zinger.
She was like, something about, I don't care or something.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
was, she
well,
literally.
She's all for it, essentially, is what comes down
she
to
was
it.
She's about it back.
Yeah. I had actually written it down because I was like, ooh, you're slick. But okay. Yeah, she had a comeback for him.
This is what I want to know from you guys watching right now, okay? Watching the live, watching the replay. I want your prediction on what is going to happen here, specifically with Ingrid, Gunhild, and Bjorn. Is there going to be a threesome kind of thing going on? Is it going to be a murder? Is there going to be, you know, who's going to end up with who? It can be anybody, okay? Let me know in the comment section in the replay, and we will comment back. We want to know what you think. That's it. And then the last thing that happens then is that the seer is talking to Bjorn, but the seer is dead.
Right? I like that. That was the seer, and that was his ghost. He was talking to his spirit, whatever.
I guess why I'm so confident it's the seer because I look at the subtitles and it says seer. Okay. So
it was absolutely the seer's voice.
Yeah. So that was the seer. He's telling him to not betray the gods. He's wondering if he should save Harald, but he's saying, don't betray the gods. Whatever you do, don't betray the gods. And Bjorn is like, well, why would I betray the gods?
That was a callback.
And it hasn't even been... Well, I think more will be revealed about what route will be betraying the gods. I don't think we know that yet.
But something is going to happen here, because if you think about what is going to... Who was, like, on the Christian side of things, Ragnar was intermixed with Christian. Rollo was intermixed with Christian, even though Rollo historically ended up, like, you know, Viking, killing a lot of French.
Yeah, that was definitely a callback to his father and his uncle, for sure. Simply because we're starting to see, like, a very soft and more of a mushy side of him. And at this,
of Bjorn.
Yeah, Bjorn. Yeah. So at this given point in time, I think he's having this inner thought with himself, is he going to go down that path?
Yeah.
Is this going to be something that leads him to trying to be a better person? And everyone that's tried to be a better person has leaned on Christianity in the process of doing that.
Okay.
So I think that was definitely a callback.
Okay.
You know,
Rollo partially selfishness though too.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what else said something about Christianity was the Russian Oleg, who said something about, yeah, but we're Christian now here or something like that.
Yeah.
He knows the old gods.
He said that in the beginning, and then look how he ended, though.
Well, there you go. I mean, they're saying it as they're slitting the guy's throat. I think that's why they're torturing the guys. Like, as we're slitting your throat, just, you know, we're Christian here. Okay, well, you guys seem to do things differently. Cool. So that's about it that happens for me in Kattegat. Let's move over to the little island in, you know, wherever that is, in Lagerfra. She is on the island. She gets news from Ube and saying that, you know, they saw Chetel coming to Kattegat. But she says, there's no way Floki is dead. Why does she have such a connection with Floki, do you guys think?
I don't know. Maybe she just knows, because she just knows how wily Floki is and how slippery he is.
I think... I really do believe that she believes that he's still connected to the gods, and she's still connected to the gods. And with that given, like, the gods just aren't going to forsake him. And then also, he's very much so one of the main people that were, like, super connected to Ragnar, as we saw in the tribute to a lot of the flashbacks. And she's connected to Ragnar. So I think this whole aspect is that she's not ready to let go of those people.
That's their old trio. It's her, Ragnar,
she's
and
Floki.
She's
not ready to let go of what they've had.
And to reemphasize that relationship, she still has a vested interest in Floki succeeding, because when she let him go, one of her people were like, why are you letting him go? She's like, well, we may need him to stick this out. You know, we may need to go back to him. You know, so he's kind of like her ace in the hole.
Good call, Al. I love it. Good call. So Bjorn is arriving to Lagerfast. I'm going to quickly wrap this up because we've got a few minutes left and we still have to cover the whole Russian part. But Bjorn is there, and he's basically asking his mother's help or advice on if he should. He's still fighting in this battle. Should he help Harald or not? Lagerfast telling him, don't do it. He betrayed Astrid. He betrayed me. Like, whatever. Bjorn is saying, well, I'm my own man. I'm going to do what I want. So I don't even know why I asked you. Okay. And then, so basically the plan comes down. He's going to go to fight Olaf and try to save Harald.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He needs someone to look after Kattegat. Vitsek is, you know, the street drunk at the moment, so he can do it. So now Ube and Torvi need to delay their trip to go find the other guy, which Oder in Iceland.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Do you guys like how I'm just pulling out these names? I've had a bit of practice. Mm-hmm. And so they're staying in Kattegat to watch Kattegat under Ube's supervision then, while Bjorn is leaving and Lagerfra is staying on the island. That's it. That's a setup. Okay, let's wrap this up, guys. We've got one little section left, and this is the Russia section. A lot of stuff happening in here. Starting with Ivar and Prince Oleg. So I'm just going to fast forward. They're going to his brother. We're going to Oleg's brother, right?
Correct.
We're all in the same place.
We're all there.
We're all there. They're going to his brother because they have some family business to attend to. Did we just get more time? I think we just got more time.
You've been granted more time.
See, Ryan, I'm watching you. I'm watching you. I know what's going on.
I noticed.
Okay, so Russia is... Ivar is going to his brother, and he is saying, okay...
Oleg is going...
Oleg is going with Oleg to his brother.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that Ivar asking is, why are you the prophet? Did you hear that? Give it to us, Al. Give us the story. Why are you called the prophet?
Because... now you put me on the spot.
Oh, my God. He then went to the gates of Constantinople, I think. And he was fighting and invaded the city, fought them, broke down, and had sat down with the king or whatever there for a peace meeting. And then he had a vision the night before.
He had a vision the night before that he was going to be poisoned if he drank the wine. So he didn't drink the wine at the summit.
And as he is saying that, Ivar is like, okay. And it's beautiful. The scene is beautifully shot with Ivar as well, because you can see it in Ivar's eyes. You see it in his eyes, exactly what you said, Lauren, earlier. He's like, who are you? Like, are you my brother, like another mother? Like, you know, what is happening here? Like, we're destined to be together. I love it. So they are literally brothers. You never know. Maybe they are. You don't know what his mother did before she met Ragnar. I'm just saying.
That's a prediction. Good
storyline. Okay, interesting little back and forth between those two. When Ivar pulled out I had a dream last night too that someone put poison in my wine. Do you think that was more of a tactic, or do you? Because I don't think he really. He may think he's a god, but he ain't been seen having dreams like that yet about, you know, wine being or not, poison not being in the wine or not.
He knows he's not a god. He's absolutely broken, because he was sitting on the floor and say, when he came into the palace, he said, I'm sorry I'm here. I'm sorry that I'm passing through here, whatever. I'm nothing.
But
I'm
what
nobody.
Else would you say, though? I mean, you know,
well,
is that the
if you actually thought you were a god, you would not say that.
If you actually thought
you were a god.
Okay. I might be like, yo, I'm a god, but I'm going to keep this on the inside. I'm not going to put all my cards on the table.
Or Ivar could have just been Ivar, you know, gaming.
Yes, that is funny. I love it. So in this dinner, this is crazy, because basically they want to go Scandinavia. We want to go attack Kattegat. So that's the plan. Okay, brother, I'm here to help me. Would you help me? He's like, of course I'll help you. And Al, you made a good comment. You said that his brother, which is called Kloppen, or I don't know what his name is, but he said something about, what did you say it about, when he said, we need to take an army, he said, I'm going to give you my army, I wait for any of your commands.
Right. Oh, Askold, yeah.
Askold, yeah. He's basically saying, you know, but it sounded like he was the main brother.
He was kind of, Askold was being deferential to Oleg, that's in that scene.
I thought that he was the older brother.
Which one was the older
Askold.
Brother?
Askold.
Okay. Askold, yeah. Okay.
I think that...
So after he's given the army, after he's done everything he wants, and asks me if he needs anything else, a lot of stuff happens. One guy starts choking, Oleg starts dancing, people start cheering outside. They're not that advanced. A sword battle outside. So stuff. So obviously it's a coup.
A coup? I like coup better, though.
Chicken coup. Okay, so not a coup. A coup. It's a coup. And he kills his own brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys can't just say mm-hmm to that.
Okay. Hardcore. I was just he's just like Ivar. He's just like Ivar.
Yeah, I was sitting there laughing hysterically simply because I'm like, you're dancing. you're literally dancing to your brother's death.
Death. He's crazy. And then while he's doing that, Ivor's face was like, okay, I found someone as crazy as me. That's the realization that happened. I'm going to wrap this up real quick because we're going to move on because you've got some cool news for us.
Ooh, yeah.
Vikings news, okay? So they the third brother arrives. And the whole story here is about the kid, because the kid is the actual true heir to the entire kingdom. Whoever rules the kid rules, you know, the armies and whatever, the true kingdom. And so Ivar relaxed with the boy, and Ivar is super, like, looks like he's in love with the boy. He's, like, super into the boy, playing music together and all such things. But the third brother says, you need to give this boy to us. And Oleg and Ivar are saying, I'm the prophet. If you do anything to me, then something will happen to you in a few days. Does that cover it?
Yeah.
That covers
it. Yeah.
Nothing happened though, right?
Not yet. I mean, he turned him down.
He turned him down. So he turned him down. He said, I don't believe you. He said, if you were really the prophet, you would know that I was married and you would know what a name is. And then he said what?
He said, I know the name of your wife, but they cut away.
Yeah, they never showed him saying it.
Well, he didn't say. He didn't say, did he?
No.
He just said, I know the answer. Which is,
okay, bluff. This guy, no poker hand for you. Okay, yeah. Lauren B., give us the news. What do we have? Wait, we have the news segment. TV news. Oh, my gosh.
So for all our Viking fans, we all know that this is the final season of Vikings, but you do not have to be sad because Vikings is moving over to Netflix as a spinoff, Vikings
Valhalla. Awesome. So Netflix, I'm sure AfterBuzz will cover that as well.
Oh, yeah. We'll stay on it.
Let's on it. Okay, that's about it. That's it for us tonight. We are just about 51 seconds from the end, and we need to wrap this up. Thank you so much for joining us. Just before I leave, I want to say thank you so much for the past 5 or 4 years. I will not be joining the panel going forward. I am traveling. I'm a winemaker. I have to make a lot of wine across the world. You guys can catch me on social media at Jacob Vinnings or at Grape Unknown. But thank you so much for the past few years. I love it, every single second of it. It was amazing being here. And James Simmons from Ask the MP says the exact same. He will also not be back. Tell them where they can find you guys.
I'm Lauren B. Mosley, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lauren B. Mosley, M-O-S-L-E-Y.
Everybody, your boy Al Grau. You can find me at Al_Jamaica House on IG and at Jamaica House Doc on Twitter.
Awesome. Thanks for the past 5 years, guys. Have a lovely week. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.